This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Well, good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. You have found Dreamland, you lucky soul. I'm Whitley Strieber. Today we're going to be talking with a remarkable man, the Reverend Gregory Kane. But before we start, I want to play for you a mysterious audio clip. And then I'm going to start talking with Greg about it. This is from a session that I did with Greg back in the late 90s, I think about 1996 or 1997, at the Lilydale Assembly in his house there. Ann and I were there, and we had booked a psychic reading with Gregory. And during that reading, the single most astonishing psychic hit in my long life of getting psychic readings and so forth occurred. Listen up.
The other energies are this. You had a circumstance in a car that your car cut out, and then it wouldn't start for a moment, and you started to back up and it worked.
That just happened about 3 weeks ago, yes.
They were preventing you from being somewhere at the time span prescribed, because I feel there were some people going to tag or meet you or follow you, and that they disrupted it, and they didn't know where you were at or what you were doing.
Because it was just a moment that it happened, and it was so strange, because It's never happened before or since.
It won't happen again.
The visitors did that? The
yes.
The visitors did that to prevent me from meeting somebody they didn't want me to meet?
Right.
Wow.
That would have been disruptive to you.
Because that was such a... strange little incident. I didn't understand what
was
all
about. That was my reading with Greg Kane, and I, at the time, was blown away by it. And I'll tell you why, but first I want to introduce the Reverend Gregory Kane. I'm so happy to have you on the show, Greg. It is a real honor. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's wonderful.
Well, good. I'm sure I hope you'll enjoy it. And we always have a lot of fun on Dreamland. It's not a light show exactly, but it's a show for explorers. And you don't jump down the throats of people who are doing insane and wild things and have extraordinary careers at the edge of reality. And if I could describe anyone as having an extraordinary career at the edge of reality, it's you. Now, let's first talk about the audio clip that we just heard. Let me set the scene, folks. Ann and I, about a couple of years before I had that reading, were driving in a new Volvo toward the New York State Thruway from Putnam County, New York, on a road that tees in directly into it. And we were within sight of the toll booth, which was just not even a mile away from the car, when the car suddenly died. I mean, all the red lights went on, the power steering went out, and I had to struggle it over to the roadside. There was no explanation for it at all. And we just sat there. It didn't turn on. The key didn't work. Nothing worked. Then on its own, a few minutes later, it just turned on again. And we went on up to New York State Thruway, drove to the New Paltz, New York exit, and then from there drove to our cabin about 5 or 6 miles from there and thought no more of it. A couple of years pass. We're up in Chautauqua, the Chautauqua Institution in Western New York State. We used to go there every summer. We loved it. And we would always spend some time at the Spiritual Church of America's camp, the Lilydale Assembly. And someone at Chautauqua had said, well, the Reverend Gregory Kane is one of the psychics you must not miss. He is really something. Well, I found out that was true. Because during my reading, he suddenly started talking about that car incident, as you heard. What are the odds? It was unbelievable. But here's the thing. He said we had been served saved from someone who was trying to kill us when it wanted to. And in those days, still communion was a big, big deal in the world. It still is, oddly enough. But at the time, there were loads of people, and we were had to be very careful because there were a lot of people who were quite hostile to us. And I think our guardian angel, I guess, saved our lives. And so that was what Ann and I decided. Then, a few days later, still at Lilydale, our son shows up. And we tell him the story. And we say to him, I think we have a guardian angel. I think the guardian angel stopped the car. At that moment, same car stopped again, same way. And then a few seconds later, it started up. So this is sort of a show about a guardian angel and someone who uncovered the secret of our guardian angel's presence in our lives. Greg, I want to start by letting you give us a little bit. Gregory is a medium. And can you tell us a little bit about what it takes to become a medium in the Spiritualist Church of America?
Well, in Lilydale, there's a 2-year testing period. If someone was to be registered there, there's a 2-year testing period. And you also have the ministry. I taught for Fellowship of the Spirit for 46 years. And I taught mediumship and healing and part of the ministry also. So as a child, I started giving messages at Lilydale when I was 8 years old.
When you were
and
eight?
There was some 8 years old, and there were some people there that were certainly much older that didn't think a child should be out there giving messages. And I had one of the older mediums on the grounds, which was a very good medium, and he had been there basically all his life. He said to me, "Don't let anyone deter you." He said, "I'm doing the service. I'm chairperson. I want you to come out and work." Well, he said to me on the pathway back from Inspiration Stump, he said, "You have some people that can't do what you do." He said, "They're much older than you." And he said, "They still can't do what you can do." And he said, "You need to trust what you're feeling and ignore anyone that's putting out any negativity in any form. Just bypass that energy and go because your guardian angels are with you." And I know I've been protected many, many times in my life, be it in a sense of people or what they're saying or actual possibility of accidents. I mean, I know I've been protected many, many, many times. But in mediumship, I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, my father, and all of them had mediumistic abilities. And going back in Lilydale, I find relatives back in 1896 that were mediums in Lilydale, singers in Lilydale, music writers, book writers, on the board there, worked in the Healing Temple. So in 1896, I had relatives there. And all the way up from there, I've had relatives that have connected in Lilydale. Now, I didn't know that when I was a child. I only knew about 4 generations. But I find it fascinating that once I was a little bit older, I started recognizing the connections and how I was connecting with spirit. Because my teachers and guides always said to me on the earth plane, the ones in the living, always said to me, "Do not limit yourself by our own restriction or fear of, can I do it? Know that you can do it. Know that you can take and trust spirit, and that integrity is something spirit will carry through." And I find that when we're in our conscious mind and we're thinking in a conscious physical world level, we can muck it up. But if we're listening to spirit and we let that purity of guidance come through, we may not on the earth plane have the supports of it in a conscious way to say those things are valid or would work. But in reality, they always work. And I find people that are mediums, they're having a difficult time at times separating themselves from their own conscious restrictions to the idea of trusting what Spirit's giving you.
You know, that's very important, folks. It's very important to me personally, because I have a lot of mediumistic hits all the time. Only if I sit down with someone, I immediately kind of clam up because I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. And it's wise advice. You know, maybe I should go up to Lilith Hill and take a course in mediumship maybe this summer. That's not a bad idea, because I'm personally very close to it. And
yes.
I've had also a lot of, when I have a mediumship session, it's often very good. In other words, there's something about the sitter that helps too, I think.
Is oh, absolutely.
Good? Tell us about what's a good sitter and a bad sitter.
Well, a good sitter is allowing themselves to be open and not be demanding of certain particular subjects or a focus of one thing. I'll explain it this way. I have quite a few clients that I've read for years and years. You know, last summer I had a lady that came into the Dale and I read for her, and she said to me, she says, "Well, I want you to know you've read for five generations of my family now."
My goodness.
And I thought it was quite interesting. And she said, "Well, you've read for me for 47 years now."
And so, do you know these people? Do you remember them when you see them? Or is it that you're in trance and you don't?
There's times I remember them. And I notice that at times it'll be a recognition of vibration. And I'll connect with them. Like if they're in the auditorium and I'd read for them years ago. There's times in the auditorium when you're going and just giving messages randomly. There are times it'll just come to me that it's like, I already know them. It's like that feeling comes through from Spirit that you already know them. And it's a very comfortable, very easy energy to work with because there's already been a link. And I think those links connect and last, and whether we're consciously aware of them or not. I don't think it matters that we're consciously connecting it as much as it is spiritually connecting it.
I think it must matter a great deal if you're spiritually connecting it. Well, listen, Freeside, we are going to take a brief break. This is Whitley Strieber on Dreamland. We're talking to the Reverend Gregory Kane. He is a medium with the Spiritualist Church of America, who practices at the Lilydale Assembly in Western New York State in the summer, and you practice at home in the winter in Florida, is that?
Yes, we're in Ocala, Florida, and I practice here all the time in person on video and, you know, on the phone.
So you can, in other words, you can get in touch with Greg by calling the number that's now scrolling across the screen, and for those of you on audio only, it's 716-595-3529. And I might add that we don't have any commercial connection whatsoever. This isn't this show doesn't work that way. It's not an infomercial. So if you want to explore getting a session with Greg, 716-595-3529. Now, let's go back to your childhood. And you come from a family of mediums. Is this?
Yes.
Yes. But something happened to you that was not usual, involving an illness, I believe.
At 11 years old, I had an infection in my chest and lungs, and I was in really bad shape. And the doctors thought they were going to lose me. And in a week's time span, I lost 26 pounds. I had 106 temperature. And I stepped out of the body, actually passed over three times. And I refer to it now as astrally stepping out, because when I stepped out of the body, my grandmother had passed when I was 9. And when I was 11 is when I had this event occur. And my mother, being a medium, she understood. And she said, "You're going to get through this. This is for you to learn and experience." And the three times it happened in a week, I had lost a lot of weight. And the first time it happened, they thought for sure I was gone. And in essence, I was. And I went over to the spirit side through the tunnel of light and experienced standing along a river. And what was a bit odd, Whitley, was, you know how in a car, if you step on the gas, you feel you're speeding up.
Yes.
You step on the brake and you're slowing down and you'll feel that surge in your body. I was moving what to me was like light speed through this tunnel. And I didn't feel a surge in a sense of speeding up. I didn't feel a surge in a sense of slowing down. And when I come out of the tunnel, I was standing by a river. As I'm standing there, I didn't feel out of balance. I didn't feel like I had the brakes on to slow down. And I'm standing right by this river and I'm watching the tunnel dissipate and disappear to my left. And it just faded away. And then I heard my name called, which I recognized my grandmother, my grandmother's voice. And she was calling me. She said, "Gregory, come here." She was on the other side of the river. And as I'm standing there, there's a part of my mind was saying, you know, you can't get to the other side. There's no bridge. And she said to me, "Gregory, come here." And I knew within me that I could walk across the river. And as I'm walking across the river, I know I wasn't even getting my ankles wet. It's like I was just walking across like it was a floor. And I got to the shore on the other side. And I went over to her. And she gave me a hug. And she said, "You need to know now you're not staying. You're going to go back. But we have some people for you to meet. And you have some things you need to learn." And she introduced me to Jesus. And Jesus was standing there and clasped both of my hands together and said, "You have a purpose in life that you're needing to understand." And as he worked with me, it's like somewhat of a mental telepathy of all this information was pouring into my mind. And I was so aware of so many things. And you know how you see at the bottom of a news, you see the ticker tape across the bottom?
Yes,
I was watching one now. Something similar to that. And it was amazing because as I'm watching it, it's pictures. No sound, no, you know, voice, just pictures. But it was pictures of events of what was coming in the world. And all the different events, you know, tidal waves and earthquakes and Mount St. Helens and all these things that were happening, floods. I was being shown all these things in pictures. And as Jesus was expressing to me what I was here for in the body, I was so interested in all the people behind my grandmother, and everyone that was over there had passed before my conception. And I started getting messages from them. And my dad's father came through and gave me some very, very important messages for my father and my grandmother, for my mother. Different ones stepped in that I would have never known in the physical world, but they were giving me information. And I was already thinking at that time, it's like, how can I remember all this? And I remembered it. It was all there, but it was like amazing to me that there was just so much given to me so quickly and so in depth. And I remember getting back the first time, coming back to the body, and I woke up with this jolt. And my mother said, "You're okay, you're all right." And I started just spewing all these things at the Jesus was telling me, what my grandmother told me, what other people were telling me. And I scared my father. He was leaning over me, and he turned sheet white. And he was hanging on the side of the bed, and he walked out of the room. And my mother patted me on the chest, and she said, "Gregory, you're okay." She says, "Just remember everything. Make sure you remember everything." She went out in the hallway and got him back in the room. And she said to him, she said, and I heard them when they opened the door, she said, "Gene, just shut up and listen to everything he says. Don't question anything." And he came and stood by the bed again. And I immediately started back into Father's messages and all the things that came through. Well, that happened 3 times in a week. And each time it was more and more and more information about what was going to be happening in the world and the different events. So as a child, I was quite amazed at all that and what purpose I had, what, in a sense, messages that I need to be here for to share with others. And that was such an important factor in my life that that happened 3 different times. And it seemed to me like a long span of time of being over there and communicating things. But my mother said it wasn't on the earth plane side. It wasn't that long. So
interesting.
It was like the time was somehow diverted and the expanded time over there was brought back and put in a relatively short period of time on the earth plane.
You know,
but yeah, I felt like I talked to him for a long time.
I've heard that before from other near-death experiencers. Elizabeth Crone, who was struck by lightning and killed, but and had an NDE lasted 2 weeks on the other side. But when mm-hmm. she came back, she'd only been dead for about 20 minutes, I believe. So mm-hmm. that's not uncommon. I don't want to get into a discussion of how time works, goodness knows, because we won't get anywhere. I can already assure you of that. But it's interesting that that's not an uncommon experience. Tell us a little bit about what happened. I mean, what were the messages? And have some of them come true, or are they all still sort of waiting in the wings?
Well, I've had everything happening. I know there's more to come, but I had, the Vietnam War, Mount St. Helens. I mean, the first space shuttle that went up and exploded. I had a circle in my house for 20 years in Ohio, and I had the same people sitting in the circle for that period of time. And we didn't let people in. We had the same group. If they couldn't make it, it was an empty chair. And before the space shuttle went up, the rocket went up, I felt with spirit that they were explaining to me that launch was doomed. And I said to the people in the circle, I said, "Let's pray for them and pray for the highest and best outcome." And here... that's the rocket that went up that had the dark-haired school teacher on it, and it exploded. And we're praying for them ahead of time before the launch occurred. And when the launch occurred, I was watching it. And friends of mine were in the living room with me, and I said to them, I said, we need to send energy to them and pray for them. And we were sending energy to them and watched the rocket go up and explode. And at that time, the news people were saying that, they died in the explosion. And it wasn't brought out until later that the oxygen was on fire in the capsule. And that was something that came to me, and I shared that at that time with the group I was sitting with. And everyone was very taken back by the whole event. But later on, they finally admitted things as to what actually occurred. But that was just such a shame because I felt it. But I also have had other things happen in my life where if I'd have called them up and said, "Hey, this is going to happen," they'd have probably come with the white jackets and put me away.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the feeling. I've had other mediums who've had that experience and have tried to do it and gotten put away. So you're yes. right. Absolutely.
And I was told by spirit that it was a destiny. And it was something that I wasn't needed to attempt to change it. It would only cause a great deal of turmoil in my life. And to accept it as a destiny and to pray for them.
Now, this is an interesting. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Greg about the ability to change things that haven't happened yet and how real that is and what it all means. We'll be right back. We're talking to the Reverend Gregory Kane. You can reach him on his website, Gregory Kane, Reverend Gregory Kane. I'm just going to run the clip. It's much easier. ReverendGregoryKane.com. You can call him for a session at 716-595-3529. And you could make an appointment with him in the Lilydale Assembly, which is a beautiful summer home of the Spiritualist Church of America, one of my favorite places in the world. I spoke there last summer, and it was such an absolute delight. I was just a joy to be there. And so now let's go ahead and go on. Can you intervene with something that hasn't happened yet?
I feel we can intervene with the thought and the prayer and putting out energy for it. And I find that what it really comes down to is, are the souls involved in the circumstances occurring, are they open to the transition of change and acceptance of what we're needing to learn? If we're allowing ourselves to really be open to what we're learning, we can divert things and change things in a positive way. And I see some things that I would term destiny that are certainly, it's the way it's going to happen, you know, no matter what. But I've had events happen where Spirit said to me, with the right awareness and change, you know, my grandmother used to say to me, do we make a speed bump or do we make a mountain? And if we can do the speed bump, we learn and accept things and accept the changes we resist. If we do the mountain, we're climbing the mountain and it's a major lesson and it's going to be tough. And it's our choice as to whether we bring harmony or disharmony to our lessons of advancement. Because I believe all of us have the ability to bring positive energy to whatever event or circumstance is occurring. And I feel like you were saying ahead of time, I've had different events come to me. Now, for example, your event with the car and it stopped. I've had it happen where it's come to me in a dream of what the surroundings were of a certain event, and I could avoid the event. And I could not have to go through the severity of what could possibly occur. And it was my understanding and acceptance that changed it. In other words, we learn our lesson by acceptance instead of learning our lessons the hard way.
So I want to get in a little bit to the lessons and spiritual development classes before we go ahead. I keep meaning to do this, and this happens at Lilydale. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We have a lot of classes at Lilydale all summer, and it's a 10-week season, and you can go to Lilydale Assembly, and on the website, and it shows everything there that you have classes and seminars. You also have a list of mediums there that if you choose to go to a certain person for readings, I would always advise everyone to set an appointment.
Yeah.
We have literally thousands of people come there through the summer.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's very important to set an appointment if you're going to go to Lilydale, folks. And how do you give us some advice about, if, say, someone is coming to the Lilydale Assembly for the first time and would like to visit a medium and has no information aside from visiting you, what would they do to decide on which medium they might want?
Well, I would certainly suggest going to their websites. There's a website in the catalog for Lowydale. When you go to the website and you see all the mediums, and you can go to each medium and see what their website has to say and what you're drawn to. You know, I find that people that go, I had a lady come on my porch one time. Her husband did not have an appointment, but she had an appointment with me, and I read for her and finished, and he was on the porch, and he said, "Well, do you have time for another one?" And I said, "No, I got someone else that is already appointed time." He said, "Well, it's like an oil change." He said, "I'll just go, and whoever's open, I'm going to go to." Well, his wife came back to me later, and she said, "We're going to call you on the phone and set an appointment for his reading." And I said, "Well, he wasn't real keen on the idea of getting a reading anyhow." I said, his approach to it, or his thought about it. And she goes, "He figured that one out." So okay. I had to laugh a little bit, because I find that if you're drawn to someone, there's a magnetism there that really says, this is who you need to go to. And even if you're looking at the list of mediums on the board at Lowydale, on the building there at the auditorium, you can look at the list and who stands out that you're very drawn to. And especially if you're going to be going to Lowydale, if you go ahead and you look at the websites, I'm sure you'll find someone you feel harmony with, and there's others you may not feel that depth of harmony with. And also, we have the outdoor services. We have the auditorium service 2:30 every day, and their medium's working. And we have the outdoor service inspiration stump, which is out in the woods, and we have a big seating area out there for everyone. And that's at that would be at 1 o'clock and 5:30 every day. And then at Forest Temple, every day but Sunday, we have an outdoor service up there. And it's a series of mediums that'll come up and work and share messages, usually 2-3 messages each. And then you change message ministers. So see who you're drawn to. I find most of the time, I don't really have people coming to me until they're drawn to me. I very, very seldom have someone show up on the porch and say, "Do you, you know, have a cancellation?" It's like, I find the energy is so really strong and in depth when you feel something for that particular person.
I understand. Because, you know, that's how it happened with us. We were at Chautauqua, and we asked around because we wanted to go to Lowydale. My wife was very sensitive to this sort of thing, and she definitely wanted to go there. And she said, "Well, I said, "How do we choose a medium?" And she said, "It won't be hard. I'll choose the medium." We were talking about mediums with some people who went there often, and your name came up, and Annie said, "We'll be going to Greg Keane." And that's how we did it.
Yeah.
And again, that extraordinary thing happened. And there was a lot of other things in the reading too, folks, by the way, about my career, which was going on at the time, and they were quite accurate. Now, I would like to know that, I mean, about books I was publishing and whether or not they would be published and ideas I was thinking. It was a really strong connection. But I would like to know this. One of the things about the Spiritualist Church of America that I thought was very impressive is the test that is needed in order to gain the honorific of Reverend as a medium. Can you tell us about how mediums are tested at Lowydale?
Well, we have testing in spring and fall, and you have 2 years of going and working the outdoor services, being in the auditorium and working. You have Monday night circles, And what happens is the mediums that are already there and are already certified registered mediums there are then keeping notes on how someone works, how well have they worked, how accurate are they. And there's a whole procedure of documentation. And then you get to the point after the two-year program, you then have the opportunity to actually test. And we have people that are going to be people you read for. And they then score you. And they score you on how well you've done, how well you've presented. Here's the accuracy of what you've given. And that's been done in, you know, for forever and years. And I find that that weeds out a lot of people that either aren't really in tune the way they need to be, or they're trying too hard in a conscious way, because working with people and being certified in Lowydale, there's quite a process.
Yeah, and, so I've heard. That's why I asked.
And the process for me when I was there as a child, when I was ordained in a spiritualist church in 1980, and I was ordained in two groups, because the one group I had been with since being a teenager, and a lot of them were so much older, and they were passing over, and I was invited to another group, and I went to that group, IGAS, International General Assembly Spiritualists, and I've been a minister in that group for years. So I look at the energy there. Now you have different schools, you have different teachings that you could become a minister in a spiritualist church, but that's the spiritualist churches individually. And then when you come to Lowydale, that's a separate entity. And you have to be, for example, being on the grounds, to own a home on the grounds, to be a member on the grounds, you go before the board. You had to have been a spiritualist church member for at least a year, if not 2 years. I forget now exactly how they worked that out, whether it was 1 year or 2 years. And then to be certified as a medium, you have to do the two-year program. So it's something that it's really quite in depth and a lot of commitment.
Yeah. And so the people who are mediums on the grounds have gone through a process where it has been essentially proved that they can do it.
Yes.
That's the thing that surprised me, because when I first heard about it, Anne was very interested in it. And of course I thought, oh my, a bunch of mediums all collected together in the same place. That's going to be a gas. but she guided me to it very well. And she said, they are not a bunch of idiots, Whitley, and look at what has happened to you. And you're considered, widely considered, much more of an idiot than any medium in this country. So we're going. and I learned that this is real. And now I know, among other things, a very private physical medium who's, I'm not going to name him. He can definitely and visibly, without using any trickery, affect things in the physical world very profoundly. And yeah. I wanted to get to that. You're not a physical medium. In other words, you're not having the horns fly up in the air or anything like that.
I've sat in many of those circles where we had trumpets in the air and we've had materialization. And my main teacher, Dana Bailey, was a trance medium. And I worked with him from about 7.5, 8 years old on up until he passed. And he was passing in his 80s. And I grew up around him. And it was, you know, he put his wing over me when I was just a young child. And he said to me and my mother, he said, this young man has the ability, and I would love to guide him and work with him in it. And I've spent a good part of my life around him. And he was an amazing man. And the things he could do, I've sat in circles where we had materialization, where the materialized entity came over and took me by my arms and pulled me out of my chair.
That happens. That's not the only case of that happening. What was it like?
Well, it was really interesting because it was one of my Indians that is a guide to me, and he took me by the forearm, and literally I could feel the pressure pulling me out of the chair, and I stood up, and he said, "I want to show everyone this, and I give you permission to reach through me." And he said, "Do not hesitate, reach through me." And I put my hand against him, and it was like pushing my hand through cool, wet jello.
My God.
And as my hand come out of the other side, I mean, I'm 6'3", and I have fairly long arms. It come out of the other side of him, and I turned my hand, and people on the other side were responding to the fact that, you know, my hand was there. They could see my hand.
They must have been responding, I would think.
And one poor lady was ready to run out of the room, and they held her in her seat for a bit to calm her down. And I pulled my hand back out, and that cool jello feeling lasted for hours. And he said to me, he said, "I want everyone here to know how real this is. I am here with you." And he even explained, below the knee, he had no leg going down to the foot because he wanted to prove that this was not somebody dressed up, you know, coming out in a human form. And he stood there and he bowed. He turned to the rest of the room, bowed to me again, and he disappeared through the cement floor.
Do they live somewhere that we can't reach in this state, or are they in a non-physical state most of the time, do you think?
Well, I think they're in a non-physical state most of the time. And my teacher was a trance medium, and I sat with him many, many, many times when he was in trance. And we had certain mediums at that time that we knew that were materialization mediums, trumpet mediums. You know, I've had a couple stones that were brought through the trumpet to me. And they were so hot that I had to keep switching hands with them. It was so hot when it come out of the trumpet.
I was once in a session. Oh, free Dreamlanders, I have to say goodbye. We'll see you again next week. All right, subscribers, we'll just keep on keeping on. I was going to say, I was once in a session in which the trumpets began to fly. And for those of you who have never seen this, it's quite a remarkable thing. The spirit trumpets are made, these were made of paper, and they were very light, and they're about, oh, you can't see it on the screen, but they're about, a foot and a half or 3 feet long, something. And they're shaped like loud hailing trumpets. They're not like brass trumpets or anything. And one of the trumpets came up off the floor and started moving around the room, and there was no way it was a trick. First, it was paper, and therefore it couldn't have been magnetized. And second, there's no way it could have been done with wires at all. And in this particular medium had a red light. Some of them want much more darkness, but so you could see pretty easily in the room. And I thought to myself, this can't be real. It has to be some kind of a trick. This is the first time I'd ever seen it. And the trumpet comes over to my face, comes up against my face, and starts rubbing my nose up and down. And I thought to myself, my God, it's rubbing my nose in it. It's literally rubbing my nose in it. And I thought, I have no choice but to accept that this is real. And it kind of broke through all of my Western skepticism. Mm-hmm. And I ask you this, what has happened to us, do you think, that has made us like this? Because it's like we've gone blind almost. to this wonderful and important part of ourselves?
Well, I think on a human level, the ego has a lot to do with it, of wanting to be in control. And to be in control, if we stick with the physical manifestation in the world, period, that's all we're focused on, many people feel they're in charge. And in reality, I don't look at the physical world as being anything you're going to be in charge of, because I believe that our body, our vibrational rate, is just a little different than the table we're sitting at. And the vibrational rate at that table and the vibrational rate of everything around us is different. And, you know, we consider it a tangible item. And I look at it this way. I many times have sat and I've watched the vibrations occur. I have a bookcase across the room from me. And in sitting here, I go into a little bit of an altered state when I'm relaxing and working with you. I can glance to the side and I see the aura around the bookcase. I see the aura around some of the books. I have a brass eagle sitting on the bookcase top, and I watch an aura around it. I believe that if we're going to understand our own egos and our conscious level of choice here, we want to be in charge and be in control. And if we're just really trusting of what we truly feel, we're not going to feel the need to be in charge and be in control, but to allow things to occur so we can fully experience and understand them.
That's well said. It's very well said. Indeed. And let me ask you this. Physical mediums have to go into a trance, I think, always. Are there any that just can simply do it without being in trance or not? You've ever heard of? I haven't.
I haven't heard of anyone that they would divide it and say that they weren't in trance, or at least what I would term an altered state.
Yeah.
And I've seen many times an altered state that they were completely coherent. They could communicate with you and talk to you. You could ask them a question, they could answer, but they were definitely in an altered state. Now, whether you would classify that as trance, you know, I'm not sure. I know Dana Bailey, when he went in trance, he was gone. I mean, you were speaking to the entity that was coming through and speaking through him.
Yeah.
He was the observer watching it occur, but he wasn't in a position where he could communicate in a conscious verbal manner.
Yeah, I've been in a seance where the medium suddenly said, there's someone who wants to talk to Whitley. And I looked over and his face had turned into my mother's face. Mm-hmm. It's just that sort of thing happens, though. It's not uncommon, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had that sort of a materialization over people. And I've had that happen many, many, many times. And I remember people also, for example, I'll give an example of this. I was sitting in a circle one time. I was voted the leader in a group up in Gates Mills, Cleveland, Ohio. And once a month we would do a circle, and we had anywhere from 35 to 45 people there. And it was a huge circle. And Spirit said to me one time, we want to do transfiguration. And we'll work with you and let others see you, and we'll transfigure over you. And I went into a meditative state and just truly, truly relaxed and allow myself to step aside, meaning I would just step aside in my vibration so they could step in. And they would step in, and there were so many people coming through so quickly that one moment it's a female and the hairstyle and everything and the makeup to a gentleman with a beard. And it's like these transitions would occur like almost like a movie. And I remember quite a few of the people afterwards, they were asking me, it's like, do you feel tired? do you feel any changes in your body because you were the instrument for them to come through? And I did feel a different energy, and I definitely felt like a little discombobulated over it. And it took me a little while to just sit and relax. And I sat there and had a little dessert and a cup of coffee and just sat and talked, because I wouldn't be driving it right after that.
Yeah, I know.
But
go ahead.
It was a very interesting energy to experience, but it didn't have a feeling of draining me. And I find that if we can relax, and, you know, some people refer to it as just a meditation, but I refer to things as a relaxation and setting intent. What are we sitting there for? What are we now wanting to see happen and connect with spirit? If we set the intent that that's our purpose, and we open the door with that quietness and peacefulness and loving energy, we're then opening the door to them to step in and share with us in the way that they can.
And they want to.
Yes, they desire to.
You know, and if you look back across the history of the Western world, there's never really been a time that I know of where this was understood well enough for it to happen in an organized way like it is now. Right. Where people also accepted it. In other words, in ancient Rome, they would have thought these kind of manifestations would have been understood very differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if there's any chance you ever see any chance of this becoming something more objective. In other words, where it's generally accepted and there could be a real dialogue between the living and the dead. Because when Anne passed over, I talked about this last summer at Lilydale. She methodically had prepared from 9 months before she died, had prepared to be able to communicate after she passed over, mm-hmm. and now has communicated with hundreds of people. She's like a medium from the other side. And does that happen? When mediums die, do they sometimes continue to communicate from the other side?
Oh, absolutely. One of the experiences I had in my life, my mother had cancer and she had 8.5 years of cancer. And when she was in the hospital in Youngstown, Ohio, I was driving down from Lilydale in the summer and spending time with her. And I was talking to her and she said to me, she said, "Greg, it's time." She said, "I'm fine. The guardian angels have been here. Our family's been here. And I'll be leaving." Well, she died at 4:10 in the morning. At 5:12, she was standing at the end of my bed at Lilydale, uh-huh. and looked wonderful and healthy and vibrant. She had red hair, naturally red hair. And she looked so vibrant and so young and youthful. And my grandmother's with her that died when I was 9. And she looked wonderful. And they both conversed with me and talked to me about they were fine. And to please what to do with the rest of the family and how to share with them, and actually gave me messages for my future. And they said, "We need to go now." And the oval they were in at the end of the bed, it was a huge oval, wider than the bed and taller than the bed. And it was like looking into another world, and they were there. And they said goodbye and the oval disappeared. And my sister called me at 7:11, and I said, "Mom's already been here. She's fine." And she was the one called to the hospital. And I found this so interesting that there was a year before that I was sitting in her kitchen having coffee before she died, the year before, and she told me what month she was going to pass in. And she described to me what she'd like to have done in a sense of service and passing. And she said, "I cannot explain this to your dad or your sister. I know you'll understand. And I know that you will guide this to be the way it should be." And a year later in that month, she passed. But it's something that we need to understand. When we really, truly are in harmony with our destiny, our purpose, we have fulfilled what we're needing to do, and we're in that acceptance of allowing ourselves to make that transition and change. Yes, we leave the body behind, but I believe the vibration of that individual and the essence of that individual is continuing on in a very loving and connected and communicative way. And the only thing that blocks us from having that direct communication with them all the time is where we are in the physical world, in the physical body, and the vibration for us to be in harmony here consciously to bring ourselves to a harmonious level that they can then easily reach us is sometimes difficult.
When you say harmonious level, that's the key phrase. Can you expand on it a little bit?
Well, I find that in a sleep vibration, I know we dream things and they'll come through to loved ones, will come through to us in dreams. And that's sort of the ultimate calmness while we're here in the body, is to be in a sleep state and they can reach us easier. And I believe that we have a great deal of communication that doesn't always come through to our conscious mind, conscious level when we awaken. It's there. And it's very valid. I'll say it this way, Whitney. I believe, like, if I would just, for better terminology, the soul mind and the conscious mind. The soul mind has all those connections, understandings, and events. Everything's there. As we consciously need it, it filters down to the conscious mind. What events happening? How we handle it? What do we do with it? In what way should we handle it? But I feel it's sort of a download to the consciousness when the events are going to be occurring, instead of it being put in our consciousness way ahead of time. I think that could be an overload.
I see. So it's a matter of, for example, I know people who have much more contact, not mediums necessarily, but people who have much more contact with the dead than others. I'm one of them. I have a lot of contact with the dead, and it's quite easy. It's not hard for me. But why would, but I don't function as a medium. I'm not trained, and I don't have mediumistic thoughts. In other words, I don't, when I'm with another person, I don't connect in that way.
Yeah.
But why would some, and yet I easily can connect with Anne, and it can become physical quite often, in the sense that she will, or someone will, physically manifest with me, sometimes very, very clearly. But what? Why would? Is there something about just normal people that makes that possible if they're open to it, or?
Well, I think it's something that everyone has the ability to some extent. I think there's some people that would be coming into the earth plane and their experiences and lessons they've chosen as a soul to come here and experience would limit their ability in connecting with, say mediums or spiritualists or a spirit world. And I see other people that are just randomly so open to it. I mean, I've met people that are very, very religious, and yet I see the mediumistic energy with them and the connections they have with the loved ones, and they dream about them all the time. And they're actually using their intuitive ability in a really in-depth way. But yet they would not think of it as mediumship, and they would not think of it as being a medium of any kind. But they look at it and they'll term it, well, God guided me, or our guardian angels are watching over us.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating that, for example, I have a Catholic priest, I'll leave it unnamed, but there's a Catholic priest that I've known for years, and he's a wonderful man, and he does a lot of healing and everything with people. And he said to me, he said, Greg, he goes, when you and I are sitting hey, so I get to see things that I don't normally have those experiences. And he has such a compassion of being open that he allows himself to experience so much more than what most people would. And with yourself, there's a part of you that can be so open in some ways with vibration that you'll feel things and know things. It'll come to you.
Yeah. How would you advise people to open that way if they can? Or is it just something that's natural?
I know some people refer to it as a meditative level and getting calm. I would say it this way. I don't care what title you put on it, but find a calm space within yourself and expand that space to a peaceful energy and expand it with the love energy for everything and everyone around you. And as you become calmer in that aspect, it brings balance. We can step beyond the physical conscious world and the confusion it lives in. And we have the ability to step beyond that. And we could be here in the physical world. We could be sitting in a chair we're sitting in, but we can have the harmony. And it's setting that intent that this is what we're here for and this is what we desire to do. And a consistency of that, of doing that, not once, but many times. And it doesn't take the intensity like some people focus on. They'll meditate for an hour and a half, 2 hours, or they'll go prayers all day. I don't feel that is really necessarily everyone needs that. It's setting that intent that we rise above our conscious restrictions we are choosing to have within ourselves, or what we've lived with that have been conscious restrictions we're used to. Every cell in our body is used to what we're doing the way we do it. Therefore, we don't really want to step out of that comfort zone. And if we put it in a trust of spirit and we allow ourselves to step out of that comfort zone, spirit then is enlightening us to so much more, and we can enjoy so much more energy. I find at times that I can be in such a blissful state, just a wonderful feeling of healing and calmness and harmony. And I come back from those moments of doing that, and it's just amazing to me, because I find having that occur when we step back into the fully conscious world, conscious body, being here in the body, we still carry that energy. I find myself feeling sad for people that don't have those experiences, because I'd love for them to experience it, because it brings so much calmness and harmony to them.
You know, yeah, those are wise words, but people push things away.
Yeah.
I knew a scientist who came to our cabin once who experienced a beautiful golden shaft of light coming down from above, and in a circle of 10 people, 9 of us saw it. Mm-hmm. He didn't see it. And then for the rest of the day, he had an agonizing headache because his mind couldn't afford to see it. It would have completely destroyed his whole worldview.
Yes. And,
you know, we push things away. How would you advise? And we all in the West, we push things away. This is why this is all so mysterious to us. Yes. What is your advice to people to help them realize, first, that we are pushing things away, and second, how to change?
The biggest battle that I believe we have is within our own mind and body. And if we can get to the point of understanding how out of sorts we really are, and to start to have a small space that we create that centered, calm, healing energy in, and let that expand gradually and grow and build that trust in it, we then can expand it to incorporate all of our body, our mind, and our thoughts. Because our thought process is something that is a huge restriction. And we're in this thought process. I look at it as my mother and my grandmother always said to me, trust. You know you're in contact with the higher world, the higher God, the higher energy. Trust. Do not challenge everything you're feeling and thinking that's coming through that you know is not your standard thinking. Your standard thinking wants to stay standard. And if we can just reach beyond that and have that trust building, it makes such a difference. You know, my grandmother used to play with me when I was a little kid, and she'd make an energy ball. And I was sitting watching TV, and she couldn't get my attention. So she made an energy ball and threw it at me and hit me on the back with the energy ball. And I turned around and looked at her, and I said, "Grandma, what's wrong?" And she said, "I want you to understand this." She said, "Look at how you responded to the energy I gave you." And it was making me be aware of that other dimension.
Wow. And
I believe we have different events occur in our lives that for split moments, it is the other dimension. And we really make that connection. But we immediately take it apart or dissect it in our conscious level. "Oh, that couldn't be. I don't know why that would happen. Or that was really unusual." You know, so we have different things like that occurring. I remember when I was a child, I used to play with the kitties, and we had a lot of cats around the farm. And I would make an energy ball, and they would see it and run away from it.
Yeah, the cats notice things like that, don't they?
And it was amazing. They picked right up on it.
Yeah.
And when we would have animals born, and one of them would be the running litter, my grandmother and mother would always say, they'd wrap them up and they would hand them to me. And they said, "Now I want you to go sit with them and work with them." And I would work with them with healing. And I know that it never happened that they were the running litter after that. I know the healing energy was there and they would get right up and get going.
It's amazing, isn't it? The way that is there. And we're turned away from it. You know, one of the first things Anne communicated to me after she so carefully established connection with me after she died, you don't know the story, and my listeners do, so I'm going to just very briefly fill you in. She contacted a number of other people almost randomly.
Yeah.
She would talk to them and tell them to call me and tell me that she was okay. And that happened four or five times. I wasn't in communication with any of them. I was too grief-stricken to even use the phone. And they kept calling me. And then I remembered we had made a pact that the first one who had passed on would do this. Okay, so one of the first things she said after I realized I could talk to her is, "It looks like you're all intentionally ignoring us." Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
I thought it was so insightful, and I bet that is kind of what it looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other question I have is this. I have had, and this happens daily, maybe more than once a day, a vibration comes down onto my ankles, just above my feet, in the front of my ankles, and it will, if I should nod off during a meeting, if I'm watching TV that whatever does this vibration is interested in, it will come and do this, and it always wakes me up. And it can get very powerful if I don't wake up.
Yes.
And it started in 2016, in June of 2016, I was in a hotel room and I saw this vertical vesica Pisces, totally black in the room with me. It was night and I was meditating about 11 o'clock and I was looking at it thinking, is that a shadow? And it came over and just went on its side and went down and lay there. And that was the first time I felt the vibration. And it's been with me for years now. It's always here. And sometimes it will come down on my body in the night, upper body in the night, and it gets quite heavy. It can weigh as much as a couple of pounds.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you can give my listeners your impression of what something like this is.
Well, I feel that it's a spirit entity that's choosing to come to you. And instead of them coming in a recognizable form, in a sense of who are here as a person or who the person would be, you're sensing the energy and it's another dimension. And they're stepping out of that dimension and stepping into not a physical form in a physical form like you and I are sitting here, but it is a form of energy that you're experiencing. And the actual weight of it, you can actually feel the weight of it.
Absolutely. And the vibration is really nice and also gives me energy.
Yes. And it really is giving a healing energy to you and expands your energy every time it occurs.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you why I think it's Ann.
I know it is Ann.
It's you, you're saying the same thing, and I'm glad to get that affirmation because I've wondered, but I once went to, I take my grandkids to the movies, of course, as every good grandfather is going to enjoy doing. And I took them to and Ann loved kids' movies, and she loved taking the kids to the movies. Hmm. I took them to a movie called, I think, Sonic the Hedgehog. And I have to admit, I'm not a big, I don't get that turned on by children's movies. And I fell asleep during the movie. And that vibration came stronger at that moment than it ever has before or since. She, no way did she want me to sleep. And I thought, does she see the world through my eyes when she's near?
Yes.
She does, doesn't she?
Yes.
And that was why
she's enjoying your grandchildren. She's enjoying your grandchildren through your vibration. And her vibration is reinforcing to you that she's with you and her ability to step in and feel through you.
Oh, Greg, what a wonderful conversation this has been. I hope you've had as much fun as I have.
I have definitely enjoyed it.
I feel such an energy coming from you. You're a good guy, my friend.
Thank you.
I noticed that every time before a session, you always begin with a prayer.
Yes.
Is it always the same one?
I use that same prayer that was given to me when I was a child. And Spirit brought it to me. And I've used the same prayer every time.
Would you feel comfortable ending the show with that prayer?
Sure.
But before we do that, explain to us why you feel it's so important to begin the session with a prayer.
I believe it's connecting to the higher power. And whether you would say God, spiritual world, Jesus, whatever form you want to put it in, I look at titles that people give things. And I find all these titles, to me, I like to blend them together in a sense that we're going to the highest power and the highest recognition and the highest level of healing and harmony that we can possibly reach.
Okay, well said. We're going to end with a prayer, folks.
Dear Father God, in all love and thy brilliance, as we walk our pathway of life, may we accept and understand all obstructions before us, may deal with them in the highest and best way. May we be guided by the hand, the sight, and the understanding. Amen.
Beautiful. Greg, thank you so much for bringing your wonderful energy to Dreamland.
Bless you and everyone, and enjoy. And hopefully we'll see you in the Dale.
Yes.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Our theme music is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander.